I hope you have your Bible with you, if you will look with us in the Word of God. Our message for tonight, title of the message is God Will Make a Way, Jeremiah chapter 32. After you've found that, please turn to verses 16 and 17. Jeremiah chapter 32, God Will Make a Way. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 16 and 17. Now, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neri, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for thee. And look, please, at verses 26 and verse 7. Verses 26 and verse 27. And God is speaking now. Verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, I am Jehovah, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Look in verses 37 and 38. Verses 37 and verse 38. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them again into the place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Look, please, at verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And then verse 17, to go back. And, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. God will make a way. Now, all of us have felt like at times to give up. You think about times in your life when you felt like giving up. Giving up on some family member, or giving up on your job, or giving up on your health. Some of you here tonight have very poor health. Giving up on your marriage. Giving up on your children. Giving up on your grandchildren. Giving up on your parents. Amen? Giving up on your parents. Giving up on your church. All of us have been at that time. Are there those who say who feel like giving up on life? Maybe there's someone here like that tonight. You're in good company because so many Bible characters have felt like giving up. Abraham felt like giving up. Elijah, remember, after that great victory, felt like giving up. Job, who was one of the greatest men in the Word of God, felt like giving up. And Peter, after he had denied the Lord, felt like giving up. But Winston Churchill said, and I know he got this from the Bible, never, 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 never give up. Never give up. And so, because God will make a way. It is so easy to, at the point, maybe where God is just about to do something great in our lives and we give up. It was a very desperate time in the life of Judah, the southern kingdom, as the Babylonian armies had surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Babylon, the first great world empire. Of course, you have heard of a place. Have you heard of a place called Iraq? That is old Babylon. And it was 586 B.C. The Assyrians had already come down on the 10 northern tribes, Israel, and carried them off into captivity. And now the first great world empire had surrounded the city. And as a soldier myself, and I think about that city, I think about that siege that they set on the city of Jerusalem. Nothing came out. Nothing went in. Food did not go in. Food did not come out. And soon they would build those siege mounds, and soon they would be inside the city, and soon the temple that Solomon built would be on fire and burning, torn apart, stone after stone, and the walls of that city would be torn down stone by stone, not a stone left upon another. We think about the days that we live in. More Christians have died for their faith than at any time in the church history of the church. And it may be that some of us may give our lives because of our faith in Christ. ISIS and all of those things. A priest the other day, in fact this past week, was in his church, at the altar of his church, and two ISIS terrorists came in and they made him kneel there in the altar. And this 86-year-old priest, they cut his throat. But before they cut his throat, they filmed all of this. They filmed the cutting of his throat. And then they gave an Islamic sermon there in the altar of that church. But God is in control, and God will make a way. When I think about the circumstances in the days of Jeremiah, God said, I called you, I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you. God's circumstances. I think about His commission that God gave him, and God has commissioned all of us. I think about Jeremiah's compassion. He was a man of tears. He said, oh, that my eyes were a river of tears. And so easy to feel like giving up. And it's so easy to think there's no hope. I want to say again, as I've said, and Brother Josh quoted me, these are the greatest days to be alive. God has honored us by allowing us to live in these days. And if I could pick a time, I would pick right now. I'm excited about life, and I'm not afraid. God said, fear not. God gave us fear not, some say, for every day. 365 times in the Word of God, He says, fear not. So I think about the circumstances of Jeremiah. I think about the character of God, the character of Jehovah. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He never says, I wish I could do something about it, but I can't. He's omniscient. He knows everything. He never says, well, I didn't know that. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He never says, well, I'd like to be there, but I just can't make it. I can't be there. God is everywhere. He is love. He never says to us, I used to love you, but I don't love you anymore. He never says that. He is light in a dark world. And our world is dark. It is dark. But Jesus is the light. God is light, and in Him is there no darkness at all. And He said to us, ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. We think about the character of God. I was reading a story about a man in Ireland who had a great big sack of potatoes. And he was carrying that. And you know how heavy a big sack of potatoes would be. And a guy in a wagon stopped and picked him up. And the guy got his sack of potatoes, got up in the wagon. And he was sitting there beside the driver of the wagon. And he still had his sack of potatoes in his hands. He was still holding the sack of potatoes in his hand. And the guy said, why don't you lay down those heavy potatoes in this wagon? Why don't you lay them down? He said, well, the guy said, I don't want to trouble you, sir. You've already given me a ride, and I'll just carry them. Here he is. He's carrying that sack of potatoes in the wagon, and he refuses to lay them down. And he says, well, you know, I don't want to bother you or anything like that. And you know, the same load's still there. And that's the way we are. We have our sack of potatoes that we have that we're carrying around. God gets us in His wagon, if you please, that wagon that's going to heaven. And we refuse. We're just still sitting there holding our sack of potatoes, our problems of difficulties, the things that are in our life. And God says, lay those potatoes down. And we say, oh, I can't do that. I don't want to cause you any trouble. I'll just carry these potatoes. And Jesus said, casting all of your cares upon me, for I love you. He's light, and He's life, and He's eternal, and He's faithful. I think about the crisis of Judah. I think about the leadership that they have.
And when God gets ready to judge a nation, you know what happens? Poor leadership. Dr. Robinson said, everything rises and falls on leadership. Lee Robinson. And you know what? He's right. And so you look at a nation and you look at a country, and when they are ripe and ready for judgment, they have poor leadership. And that's, are we there? Are we there? Just look around. Just listen to what they are saying. And I'll answer that question. We have poor leadership. The poorest that I have ever seen. I have ever seen. But God is in control. I think about the spiritual crisis that they had. I think about the military crisis that they had. I think about the story about Julius Caesar as he was, as they were invading Britain, and he had his Roman legion with him. And so he made a very radical decision about ensuring the success of that attack in Great Britain. He ordered his soldiers out to the cliffs where the ocean was, and he said, now, I want you to look down. And when they looked down, they saw the ships that they came to Great Britain. You know what was happening? He had burned the ships. Julius Caesar had burned the ships because he wanted them to realize that there was no escape. They must fight. All the possibilities of getting away, those soldiers was taken away, and they stood there in horror as they saw the ships that they came to the shores of Britain, burning on fire, every one of those ships. And so we see the crisis, and this is a crisis day that we live in. But God will make a way. God is in the business of making a way. And God wants to and wills to make a way for your life. I think about the courage of Jeremiah. Not only the circumstances and characters and the crisis, but the courage of Jeremiah. I read a story about Abraham Lincoln as he was running for president, since this is a presidential year, in case anybody didn't know. If you don't know about it, you must be living under a rock, because it's everywhere. And someone asked him about his opponents. Ask Abraham Lincoln about his opponents. And Abraham Lincoln said, well, Breckinridge is from the South, and the Northerners are not going to vote for him. And he said, Douglas, he's from the North, and the Southerners are not going to vote for him. Abraham Lincoln says, the man that I'm afraid of, he was not afraid of Breckinridge, he was not afraid of Douglas. He said, the man that I'm afraid of, you know who he's saying, is Abraham Lincoln. He's a man that I'm afraid of. If I am defeated, he said, I will be defeated by that man. I'll be defeated by Abraham Lincoln. And you see, God wants us, by His grace and His power, to have courage. And these are not days for fear. These are not days for the faint of heart. God's on His throne, and all is well as far as He's concerned. And His program is moving on. His truth is marching on. And so we see, fifthly, very quickly, and if you're faint of heart, let me just put some courage to you. I'm going to finish on time, okay? And I assure you that I can, by His grace and power. I see the confession that Jeremiah made. He said, now, there's nothing too hard for God. Jeremiah cries out, there's nothing too hard for God. And that's something that we should realize. There's nothing too hard for God. And so we find him praying. He said, I prayed to the Lord God. He said, there's nothing too hard for you. And I want to look at you and look in your face and tell you that there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that you're going to face that's too hard for God. There's nothing, as I think about this church, that the greatest days of Crooked Creek are not behind us. They're not behind us. The greatest days of Crooked Creek Baptist Church is not the present. The greatest days for this church are yet ahead. They're in the future. And so the future is just as bright as the promises of God, and I have great confidence. I have great faith that this church will move on and move forward, and I rejoice at the new pastor who will be here, the Lord willing, Wednesday night. And I believe he's a good man. And I believe he's going to do a great job. And what I've always told people, I've had the naysayers who've come to me and said, you know, all these things about Crooked Creek, and I always have a standard answer. Crooked Creek is a great church. A great church. And somebody who wanted to say something about Pastor Miles, I would say, not only is Crooked Creek a great church, but Brother Miles is my friend. He is my friend. And I appreciate it. One thing I always tried to do is to be loyal. To be loyal. To be loyal to my friends. To be loyal to my church. But most of all, to be loyal to the Lord. To Him by His grace and power. So he prayed, and he praised God. And so we see the challenge. There it is. We've seen the circumstances. And God knows your circumstances. And you know about the character of God. I don't have time to move upon the crisis of Judah. And all of us are in full-blown crisis, all kinds of crises that we have. And we've looked at the courage of Jeremiah and the confession of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah said, there's nothing too hard for God. That's easy to say, but sometimes it's hard to live by that. It's good talk, but our actions should reflect the fact that there's nothing too hard for God. So God questions Jeremiah, and he says, is anything too hard for God? And I close. Is there any person that's too hard for God? Some of you wonder about someone or someone. Is there any person that's too hard for God? And the answer is no. Is there any sinner too hard for God? No. I don't like to give up. I don't especially like to give up on people. On people. And I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. By the grace of God. Oh, listen. And so Jeremiah said, I'm not going to give up. So there's no backslider too hard for God. There's no person who's been saved, who's away from the Lord, that's too hard. No. I've seen so many who have been brought into the will of God. Is any problem too hard for God? The answer is no. You say, well, Brother Bill, you don't know my problems. But I want to tell you, your problems are not too hard for God. I'm not downplaying your problems. But I want to tell you, your problems are child's play for God. God will not have to even bat an eye to do something about the problems that you're facing. So there's no problem too hard. Is there any marriage too hard? The answer is no for people who want to make the marriage work. You say, oh, Brother Bill, it's 50-50. Oh, my friend, it is not 50-50. Lisa, it's not 50-50. Aaron, it's not 50-50. Sometimes it's 95-5. Amen? And the one who's willing to accept the 5 is the strong one of the two. You see, well, I'm the head of this house. I want you to know. And things are going to go my way. Do y'all understand how foolish and how crazy that is? You won't stay married long. Let me give you the solution. My recipe for staying married. A man's, here's the two words, just two words. Yes, dear. All of God's people said, amen. There's no marriage too hard for God. There's no child too hard for God. I've told you about when my dad brought my brother down several notches and taught him who was in charge. And there's no child too hard. There's no physical problem too hard. And there's all kinds of diseases. We could write a medical book by the folks here in this building right now. If I told you all the doctors I have, you'd think I was a hypochondriac. The hypochondriac said on his tombstone, I told you I was sick. All of us have physical problems. All of us have something wrong with us. You say, I don't have anything wrong with you. Well, your mind's not working good. What's wrong with you? Everybody has something wrong with them. All of us, we know about it, we don't know about it. And the most dangerous thing to have wrong with you is that you don't know it. And so there's no physical problem. Your physical problems are not too hard. And you'll never, let me just tell you something, give you some physical advice, okay? From Dr. Carpenter, okay? This is free. I won't send you a bill. You cannot live pain-free, okay? Did you hear that? You can't live pain-free. You can't live pain-free. That stuff you're going to take to dull it are going to be worse than the pain, okay? You can't live pain-free. I have a lot of stories. I know it's true because I've had a lot of friends who thought they could, and they couldn't. So many are gone. And there's no place too hard for God. There are no prayers too hard for God. And I close with a story. A bumblebee is not supposed to be able to fly. Did you know that? So you learned something. A bumblebee is not supposed to be able to fly. Their body's too big and their wings are too short. But you know why a bumblebee can fly? They don't know it. They don't know that they can't fly. And all the experts have told them that they can't fly, and there are people who've told you can't fly, and maybe somebody's told you that you're never going to amount to anything. Never amount to anything. But I want to tell you, God will make a way. He will make a way. And God has called you. God has commissioned you. God has given you something to do by His grace and by His power. And by His grace and power, you can do that. So I want to tell you the last words that I have to say at this time. That is, the best for Crooked Creek is yet ahead. A bright future, and I praise God. And I look forward. The years that go ahead, I look forward to hearing the people who said, well, Bill, what are you going to do? Are you going to ride off into the sunset? Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you're going to do? Well, not quite, okay? Not quite. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Brother Bill, when are you going to retire? I said, I'm not old enough to retire yet. You see, a lot of us up here. Amen? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So be careful. So be careful what you think. Let's bow our heads, musicians, will you come forward? I don't know what you're facing, but I want to tell you that God will make a way. God has all power and His omnipotence. He will make a way for you. And so God wants to make a way. He wants to solve problems by His grace, by His power. He's your friend. He's on your side. He's working for you. He's working to make things, to bring things together for your good by His grace and power. And so, God has spoken to your heart tonight. Will you come forward? Now, you say, Brother Bill, I've never been saved. I'll be in the front. we'll have someone show you from the Word of God how to be saved. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but I invite you to come. Shall we stand? Will you come forward?